to see each of you here this evening. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning to 1 Peter and the first chapter, that's where we'll begin our study this evening. 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you take your Bible and look in 1 Peter chapter 1, look, if you will, begin at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been making a study on Sunday evenings in regard to precious things from the epistles of Peter. And you'll recall that this outspoken man talked about things that one could identify as precious. He talked about, as we talked about a couple of Lord's Day evenings ago in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 6, the precious Christ. And we talked about why it is that Jesus is precious, being the chief cornerstone upon which our lives are to be built. Then last Lord's Day evening, we talked about precious faith. And we talked about how faith is precious because of who our faith is in Jesus Christ. He's the object of our faith. And then we discussed the fact that faith is precious because it's rare and so few have it. Now this evening, we want to talk about something that may sound strange to the ears of most people. And that is what Peter identifies in 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 7 when he talks about precious trials. Now, that sounds strange to the ears of most, because when we think of trials, we don't think of something that we would hold dear or something of great value. However, this man, who was an apostle, recognized the value of trials. And what I'd like to do is give observant to the word of the apostle and then make application. I'd like for us to examine why trials can be precious and that of value to the child of God. The first thing, if you have your Bible, in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice what he is talking about when he talks about your faith. If you have your Bible, underscore your faith. Notice what Peter is talking about when he talks about being tried or the trials. He said trials are precious because it is to your faith. And he is addressing the people who believe in God. And Peter understands that there are individuals who are Christians, who are the elect of God, and he says you will have to maintain your faith even in the most difficult circumstance. If you have your Bible, look, if you will, in verse 2. In verse 2, notice that he identifies to whom he's writing, and he says, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The elect are those who are in Christ. And Peter understands these are people who have their faith in Christ. They've accepted the call. They've obeyed the gospel. They've had their sins blotted out through baptism. They are now part of the family of God. And yet, he said, your faith is still going to be put to the trial. Notice that Peter doesn't say that once you become a Christian, everything will be fine. I'm sure there were some that labored in that day as they are that labor in our day. That a Christian won't have troubles and trials. But Peter puts that to rest. Peter said, your faith will be tried. But that brings up something else. I want you to understand that Peter speaks openly about that. He doesn't hide the fact that individuals who are children of God will undergo trials. And yet Peter says that these trials have a purpose. So thus far in our study, I recognize two things. I recognize that faith is that which is being tried, my faith in Jesus Christ, and I recognize without a doubt, without a controversy, that everyone who is a child of God's faith will be put to the test. There will come times that our faith will be tried. Now that raises a serious question. How will your faith be put to the test? Have you ever stopped to take note that Peter talked about that? Peter said in verse 6, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials. Now, I want you to think about different ways our faith can be tried. First, it can be grieved. Have you ever thought that in life we can face great obstacles and great trials and great troubles that bring grief upon an individual? If you take your Bible for just a moment, turn, if you will, to the book of Acts in the 4th chapter. One way you'll find that your faith can be put to the test, and one might be grieved, is when they are persecuted for their faith. In the book of Acts and the 4th chapter, you'll find Peter and John preaching Jesus the Christ. And you'll find they've been arrested. And you'll find in Acts 4 that they stand before the Sanhedrin court. Why are they arrested and why are they being tested and tried? Because of their faith. They proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They preached what they believed, and thus they were put on trial. Then you'll find in the book of Acts in the 4th chapter in verse 13 that they perceived the boldness of Peter and John. And they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men. And they marveled, and I love that next phrase, they realized they had been with Jesus. Have you ever thought these individuals saw the faith of Peter and John? And they told Peter and John, do not speak in His name anymore. You do not utter the name of Jesus. We put Him on the cross. We don't want you to fill Jerusalem with this teaching that He's been raised from the dead. You hush. And you notice what they said in your Bible in verse 19. Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And in verse 5, look, they further threatened them. And you understand they're being threatened. And notice that when they left, they glorified God for all that had been done. Have you ever thought their faith had been put to the test? Then if you take your Bible in the book of Acts in the 16th chapter, you'll find Paul and Silas. What do you find Paul and Silas doing? Preaching the faith. Preaching the Christ. Bringing people, persuading people to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. To believe that He is the judge. To believe He is the Messiah. And you know what they did in Acts 16? They beat Him. And then when you read in Acts 16, I'll tell you something else they did. They put Him in prison. Now, can you imagine tonight if they marched into East Side's building and they took us aside and they said, you don't preach anymore in this name. And we said, I'll tell you what, I must preach Him. And then they beat us and they put us in prison. How would you feel? You ever thought about that? Ever thought, what would you do in prison because of your faith? And have you ever thought in Acts 16 that here was Paul and here was Silas? What are they doing? Are they feeling sorry for themselves? No, they're singing songs in the night. Have you ever thought they glorified God because they were worthy to suffer for His sake? Now, I want to tell you, that's putting your faith in Christ. But then I want to tell you another thing. Not only will your faith be tried by persecution, but your faith can be tried by sickness. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. When you come to 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, notice, if you will, Paul is writing. And when Paul is writing at this time, he realizes his time is short. But notice what he says about a man identified as Trophimus. In Trophimus in verse 20, he said, I left in Miletus sick. Have you ever thought here was an individual that wanted to be about having his health, wanted to go about preaching the gospel, but he was physically infirm. He wasn't able to go. And I've often thought about the people in New Testament days that suffered sickness. And I've thought about people whose bodies weren't capable to do what they wanted to do, how that can try your faith. Have you ever thought about people who physically aren't able to get up? Sometimes we talk to one another, we say, how are you? And I think about the people that say, I was able to get up this morning. That's a blessing. And you know, that's exactly right. There are some people that they live their life on the backs. They're not able to get up. And you think about the blessing it is to have health. And so often I wonder about the people when their health is taken. Will they maintain their faith? But I want to tell you there's a third one. Open your Bible back to the book of Acts, and this time the 5th chapter. And when you come to the book of Acts and the 5th chapter, have you ever thought about in Acts chapter 5, here was a man identified as Ananias and Sapphira, and notice that in their prosperity, their faith was put to the test. They sold a portion of land. They brought the proceeds. They had become prosperous. And here they were bringing the proceeds. That was a good thing. They were going to lay the money down at the apostles' feet. But there was one issue they lied about. They wanted to act like they were giving all the money when they had kept back part. And it wasn't wrong for them to keep back part. The problem was they lied about it. Have you ever thought that they saw in chapter 4 Barnabas do the same thing? And then they thought, well, I'll sell our land. We'll bring the money. Maybe people will recognize us and give us a nickname. You look at Barnabas' name was Joseph. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And you ever thought about because of their prosperity, they lied? Ever thought about here were individuals whose faith was put to the test because of their prosperity? Sometimes you'll find people maintain their faith when they're sick. And you'll find they'll maintain their faith when they're persecuted. But the thing they can't stand is good times, prosperity. And that's when their faith is weak. So when you look back in 1 Peter, you'll find Peter says that trials are precious because we test the genuineness of our faith. We make sure that our faith is real and not counterfeit. That it will come forth when it's tested by fire. And he says there's a result. What's the result? Notice that last part, that may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. At His second coming, at the end of time. So now then, I recognize several things. I recognize that my faith will be tried. I recognize that it can be tried by persecution, by prosperity, and by sickness. And I recognize that it's tested and tried to see if it'll stand up, to see if it's sincere. And if it stands up, then my life will be to the praise, honor, and glory of God. And it will be to the praise, honor, and glory of God at the end of time. I want to take that. Three quick thoughts, the lesson yours. I want to ask you a question. Do you truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you truly believe He is the Messiah that was prophesied about and has come? And do you believe that He will be the judge in that great day? Because I'll tell you something. If I believe that Jesus is who He says He is, then I am going to abide with Him no matter what comes. Do you believe? The second thing I want to ask you is, when your faith is put to the test, whether it be through persecution, sickness, or prosperity, have you ever thought that they have a purpose in testing? Look in your Bible in the book of James. And notice what James had to say in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, notice that James is right. And he wants us to understand that when these trials come, they have a purpose. He says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Well, why? Look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing, that's exactly what Peter had said, of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete, or perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? Faith, with no doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Have you ever thought, he says, count it joy when you fall into various trials? Why? It's going to produce something. And it's going to show that your faith is sincere and genuine. Oh, I would that I could get that in my heart. I would that I had the ability tonight to speak eloquently so that you would think about the fact that when our faith is put to the test, that there are benefits of standing with your faith. And your faith grows and it produces patience, and patience produces wisdom. I look out and I see people whose faith has been put to the test. I've seen people who've gone through many trials and you've held on to your faith, and I want you to understand that's an encouragement to me. Your life is a living praise of God. And that's what we need to do. Hold to our faith. Because I want to ask you something. When your health is gone, and the money's gone, and the recreation's gone, what else is there to hold on to? When you look around, and all that you held dear can be taken from you with a snap of a finger, one thing people can't take from you is your faith. And sometimes that's all we have to hold on to. And if it's tested and tried, then my friend, when the big tests come, we'll know how to handle it. And that only comes by getting up every day and facing the problems of that day or the joys and blessings of that day and realize that we still go to God with thanksgiving and with our petitions. One last thought, lesson, Jews. Have you thought about how precious faith is? I want you to think about how precious to be sincere and pure in the faith. People may not always can tell when someone's a phony, when they're a counterfeit. Sometimes that evidence will come out. But God knows. And sometimes I recognize that these things come so that I can be the man I need to be and you can be the person you need to be, and that when we come forth, we'll be tried and we'll be tested and we'll come forth as gold. The impurities removed. That's what sincere means, removed. Taken out. It's wax that's been removed. Filled with what we need to be filled with. Faith in God. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, I want you to understand being a child of God doesn't remove the trials and troubles of this faith. But what it does is it puts our faith in the one who created this world and the one who one day will judge it. And if we need to be made right, we pray you come as together you stand and sing.